everybody. Welcome back to the Ben and Noah Show. I'm Ben Sofer.
And I'm Noah Lien.
And today we have a very special guest for you. So once upon a time, there was a junior at Emory who liked to draw specifically with chalk.
What?
Yeah. And one day, while walking on the quad sidewalk, what started off as just a simple day, just drawing chalk, turned into a social media campaign. And that account is called Everybody Chalks. And the person behind that account is with us today. Please welcome Ari Ophir.
Woo! The one and only!
That's me.
How you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you doing,
Ben? I'm doing great. Thanks
for
asking.
How are you doing, Noah?
Yeah.
Living the dream. Living
good,
the dream.
Good.
But yes, so first of all, we just want to know a little bit more about you. The chalk drawings that you've made have been so stunning, so beautiful.
Thank you.
And they're beautiful drawings of cartoons, the really nostalgic ones that they speak a lot to me, and
yeah.
I'm sure a lot of the students in our university of Emory University. Mm-hmm. And I think that we're just really curious to find out how did your venture into your foray into chalking into art in general start?
So I actually was asked this question a lot of times during my journey of starting this whole process of chalking, and you guys chalked when you were little, right? On the sidewalk?
Yeah,
you grew up in New York, so maybe not.
Yeah.
It's a little dirty.
I did, I just wasn't that good at it.
Well,
yeah.
I grew up in Singapore, so we don't really, I don't have seen chalk until very late in my life.
Well, I'm glad that I could introduce you to it.
No, I think we're just very not the usual. I think it's probably a lot more popular, especially with the, what's that? The hopping thingy?
Hopscotch.
Hopscotch, yeah.
That's most people's first introductions. And I don't know. What I like about it, a lot of people are introduced to it when they're very little.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things, it's temporary, and it's cheap, it's really accessible. You could find it, in any store.
True.
You could find people playing with it on any playground if the weather's nice.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just something that everybody is exposed to, and that's where I got my first exposure to it as well.
Oh, okay.
And as I got older, the chalk started getting more and more refined, a little bit better.
All right.
And during the pandemic, it's actually a funny story. I thought that oil pastels could be also taken down in the rain. So on my street, which was newly paved, beautiful for chalking, black and smooth, whatever, I used oil pastels and made a drawing of, oh my gosh, girl with the pearl earring. And then my parents got an HOA violation because it didn't come out. We had to hire someone to pressure wash it. But after that, I knew I was sticking to Crayola brand. But I've always been an artist, and I just really like chalk as a medium because it's forgiving. And it's really easy. If you mess up, it's fine. If you don't mess up, it's even better. But it's just something that is a release, so it's awesome.
I love that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I want to delve into that point about, you said you've always been an artist.
Sure.
So artist, is it for you right now, is it physical, drawings and paintings, or is there any other venture that you have?
I don't know. I'd say, my personality itself is very right brain, just creative person.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
The artistry, creativity, it bleeds into all other aspects. I play the piano. I used to sing a lot, not anymore because I was humbled by my beautiful and talented friends and roommates at Emory who were just eons and eons better than me. But
it's
that. The creativity just bleeds into all aspects of my life, and it's something that if I didn't have access to it, I would literally melt. And you're the same way because you're a performer, and do you bleed that into other aspects of your life as well?
No, definitely.
Into your career?
I think you're so right on that. Creativity and something about that is just. When I'm teaching as well,
mm-hmm.
I embed a lot of things like performance,
mm-hmm.
music, just build it into the curriculum. You can do a lot of things with any job that you've been given.
Because it builds confidence and it gives you skills to be able to think on your feet.
And to feel.
And to feel.
Oh, I love
and
that.
Connect with people,
mm-hmm.
and react.
Yeah.
And have empathy. You're a musician.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. A very talented musician.
Yeah.
Wow.
Subscribe to his musician channel. Yes.
We
volunteered
together at the Hope Lodge, and you would play the guitar with a little band.
Oh,
and
I love that.
You were the best out of everyone in the band. And I was shocked because I had no idea that you had that.
Yeah, I play guitar, yeah.
But just I use my chalk to connect with people, you guys use each of your talents and pull it into what you do. You were able to serenade cancer patients, and they sat and they listened.
Right. Yeah.
That's the one
So were you always like super good at drawing? Like, is it just like you just kept practicing? Or did you take classes or how did that?
I never took classes because it's one of those things where if someone tells me how to do something, I like don't want to do it.
Oh.
Yeah. So
I get that.
Self-taught, and no hate to anyone who wasn't self-taught, but for me, it's just like I need to figure it out by myself because that's how I'm able to learn and practice and that kind of stuff. But when you say, have you always been good at art?
Yeah, she has.
Better. See, my metric for comparison is my brother, and he's like total. We're twins. So I feel like I was born with the right brain. He was born with the left brain. He's an accountant now.
Oh,
so
wow.
He's only numbers all the time. So comparing between him and I growing up, of course, I've always been good at art. But if you look at my drawings from like first, second grade, it's like it's stick figures and
so
stuff
it developed
like that.
Just through practice.
Yeah, just through practice and just like loving the craft and I don't know, whenever I have free time and have the urge to do it, I give myself the time and the space to do it. So
that is beautiful. I love that.
Let's shift to Everybody Chucks. When that first started, it was your junior year? It was junior year, right?
Junior year. And like yep. I had done some like underground like chalks on campus in areas that nobody had seen, like like parking garage ceilings and just to know like, do I still got it? Do I?
Yeah.
And then finally, I don't know, I was feeling kind of down coming back from winter break in junior year. And I don't know, I decided if it was something that I would like to see and it would cheer me up at the beginning of the semester, then maybe it would help other people. And it was crazy because I remember looking at the weather that day and it was 38 degrees. And I had to buy mittens from Target just to be able to like blend the chalk without getting frostbite on my fingers. And that first one was outside of Convocation Hall.
Was that the Snoopy one?
It was the Charlie Brown one. And it was, I don't know the characters' names. I know one of them was Charlie Brown.
Bruh.
I think it was Charlie Brown and Linus.
Yeah.
And,
I remember that one. I saw
the blanket. Yeah.
Something like
Linus has the blanket.
Linus is the blanket.
Yeah, Linus is
the
one with
the blanket.
Yeah.
He's attached from this one to the blanket.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh my god, that actually came at like such a good time too. Like
I was
feeling down too.
It was cold outside. I'm from Las Vegas, so like the cold weather is not for me. And now being here in New York, like
talking about that chalk, I actually I read that seeing that first image, I remember looking at that and I was just like, it was a day that was gloomy and it was like cold and I thought it was gonna rain too. I think I was just like feeling down, not seasonal, but like there were some things in my life that were not going the way I wanted it to go as well. And I think I was also in a really, really down place, but seeing that picture, I just like, I just took a pause and I was just like, yeah, wow, this is gorgeous. Like, what is this doing here? You know? And I stopped and took a picture and I just like saved it for myself. I just sent it to a bunch of friends and just telling them like, you guys have to come out and like look at this. I know it's just like, it's just like, oh, it's just a picture, but like, to think that someone sat there, like I think a lot of the times it's just like when you say something's homemade or like I knit this from hand or I made this myself, it means so much more. Because like to think that someone actually came here, sat down and made it, I think that hit me like hard. And I was just like, wow, I am really impacted by this thing. And I thought it was gonna be a once-off thing, but then I started seeing it pop up everywhere. And I was just telling people about it. And then that's when I somehow got a word of this wonderful person and I was like, who is this person? Like, that is
still don't even know.
Yeah, we're all finding ourselves. Yeah, but that is, I think you impacted a lot more people than maybe you even realized, but that was
I appreciate that.
You definitely
That's the whole point for me. But it's also it was also a way for me to become more connected and live in the moment. Get off my cell phone and just like sit and do something not only for myself but for the enjoyment of others in a completely detached way where I don't physically have to
perform
or anything like that. Like I would sometimes wake up at like 6-7 a.m. like knowing that nobody would be out there seeing me and I would just completely disconnect.
I remember when your account first started, and I'm probably one of the first like 20 or 30 followers.
Thanks so much.
And it's grown a lot since then. And I remember it grew very quickly. At any point during when like as this growth was happening, like were you at all like thinking about like the like how it was growing, or were you just doing your thing?
No, I was just doing my thing. The Instagram account count as more of a way to preserve it, because as you know, chalk is destroyed by weather and by feet and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. So it's just a way to, you know, save it, show, hey, look, I did this at one point, and if anyone wants to find it and, you know, use it for their own joy or post repost it for other people's joy and stuff like that, then totally fine. My goal isn't to grow it and get thousands and thousands of followers, but it's mainly for the people that find it. Those are the lucky ones. It's the same with as you find it on the ground. Those are the lucky ones. Those are the ones who, you know, when they're walking, they put their phone away from their face and they actually took a second and observed the world around them and lived in the moment, connected with time and space as they should, as our ancestors would have wanted. So that's kind of how it exists in the online world too, even though that's not exactly how my ancestors would have wanted.
I mean, that's still really cool. I really like that concept of just like being your authentic.
Be present.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, like not doing things, it's good for the algorithm or you know, something like that.
It doesn't need to be.
Because I don't use hashtags. I don't do any of that. I don't boost. I don't use bots or anything. But there are some people that are faithful reposters, and I appreciate that. But the goal isn't to grow exponentially. It's just, you know, as many people that see it, that's a good thing. But that's not always the goal.
Yeah. I think that's what it should be.
Yeah.
Honestly.
So after Emory, are you continuing to?
Yeah, I've continued it, but I didn't realize how different the summers were here in comparison to Atlanta. Like the heat here, even though it feels cooler, I literally wanted to melt and die on the sidewalk the first time.
It's
that
the concrete.
It's the concrete. Atlanta concrete is very different.
And there's trees. There's more trees.
Wait, so you were talking in the public concrete, like?
Yes. So the first one that I did was actually in Washington Square Park, because I know that that's where the artists go and that kind of stuff, and they're very open to that, you know, kind of art. But I also know, like before making the move to New York from Atlanta, that it's actually illegal, technically, in law, to chalk on a public sidewalk.
Oh,
and bullshit.
And it's like graffiti, and that you could get arrested if you don't clean it up. So I was really worried, so I really did my research to know like what you could do. Some public parks are okay, like technically not okay, but no one's gonna bat an eye at you, and I always brought a big jug of water just in case someone says stop. But Washington Square Park, there's chalk everywhere, especially because that's where NYU campus is, and just like Emory has students expressing themselves in chalk on campus, like that's kind of the canvas for NYU students, so which I found pretty cool. There were just so many people, so many feet to like be like, get away, I'm still working. I had to leave immediately because I knew the second I left it was just gonna get walked over. But it's okay, that's part of the process. On the ground, it's gonna get walked on. That's one of the things I had to
accept
and teach myself, that it's okay, because as long as I got the pick, it's okay.
No, that's awesome.
It's finite, and it's precious.
I think like Banksy kind of, right? Like, you know, when you stretch things, it's like, I mean, it's pretty cool that you...
You think the value goes up when people...
I think the value goes up when there's, like, it's not just... Not value, maybe, but I don't mean value. I think there's something special about something that's just, like, for a limited time or for, like...
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Just the moment.
I agree.
Just that moment. It exists for just a moment, and that's okay.
That's kind of life, too.
As everything does, so...
Yeah, it is. That's life.
Well, that's so deep.
Profound. Wow.
that's profound.
And I think that's really cool, and... You are going to continue chalking?
Sure, yeah. I've done a couple here in New York. I've done
one or two in New Jersey.
In New Jersey, the thing is where I live, it's just so residential. The streets are very quiet. Even though it's the first town after the George Washington Bridge, it's very
interesting.
Suburban, settled, stuff
just
like that.
People drive through it,
I guess. People drive through it. Very transient place to be. So I'm not a big fan. Not because I need attention constantly. I need everyone to see it. But just because I feel like nobody sees it. I need at least one person. At least one person. Sometimes I don't. Sometimes it's just for me. But it makes me feel better when I know that other people are
going
to see it.
That's so valid.
I did one in Washington Square Park. I did one in one or two in a park in New Jersey. And the last one I did was near Columbia University. I like the area near universities, because I think students... I feel like more than adults, like boomers and whatever my parents are, which is the boomers, they're more willing to observe the world around them, live in the moment, that kind of stuff. And they also connect more with the type of art that I do.
That's an awesome, wow. I wouldn't expect it to be like that, Case.
They appreciate the tidbits, the small things. It's not about getting to the next errand or anything like that all the time. Sometimes it's just about going on a walk and...
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you ever try like the big ones, like Central or Prospect Park?
So Central Park is just so busy.
Yeah.
And the ground, for the most part, is like gravelly.
It's like dirt. Tarmac or something.
It's
I don't know
dirt.
What it is.
Some parts are not dirt. Like towards the entrance, it's blacktop.
There's sidewalks too.
Yeah. But gosh, I feel like I would get run over by a horse and pooped on.
I think that's something that could be a really cool event. Just pitching this. Getting a bunch of. Connections, people who are interested in just like art in general, and then having people chalk on the sidewalks.
I agree.
And you can be
I need
like,
to look into
central.
That if one actually exists.
Yeah, because I've seen actually in Harlem, they had an event where people were painting on the walls. They were
having a mural painting,
and it was just like 8 hours, artists can come up and put whatever they want up there. And within reason, I think within reason. But this one, the murals that they put up there, it's still up. If you go right before you enter the 125th, like subway, along the walls, you would just see like beautiful, vibrant paintings. And I think that some of these things are really cool. But it could be like a mini event where you know, even like us watching you chalk or just being with you, and like maybe a little picnic or something, playing
that'd
music.
That'd be so cute.
And that'd be like a little event.
And,
just, like,
and people have told me it's like meditative to do it, but it's also meditative to just like be around people who are doing chalk. Just like the
transform.
For me, I feel that when people are cooking, like in Cox Computing Lab, they would often play videos on the screen of people cooking, just as like background, whatever. I hope you know what I'm talking about. Sometimes it would be like an aquarium, or sometimes it would be like.
Some people will do like a train ride, like from the East Coast to the West Coast, and it's like the point of view. So like
it's point of view. And, I don't know. It's something where you regulate your breathing and like.
I love that. I think we need that. Like I think we need that because sometimes our weekdays can be just a rush, and then you just need to like step back.
And so many of us are working just like. Draining.
It is.
Jumps.
It does drain.
So.
It does indeed drain. Speaking of working, what a great segue. What do you do?
It all started last summer. I had an internship. So I started off there working in research and development as an intern. And then actually during the school year, I had the opportunity to continue part-time. So throughout all of senior year, I was working 20 hours a week.
Wow.
Anyway, I transferred teams in January, and I work as an associate scientist. It's a two-person team. So I'm the associate scientist, and the principal scientist is above me. But our actual labs are external. So I'm not doing any mixing. I'm not doing any of that. It's kind of like cooking in a kitchen, but the kitchen is across the street. We're telling them exactly what to do and how to do it.
Oh, and then they send it back over?
Then they send it over.
Oh.
We say, needs more sugar. But it's been cool to work on a lot of different projects, and I've been gaining a little bit more independence and leadership. I actually got to lead the summer intern program this summer.
Wow, cool.
So it was really cool. And, you know, it's something that I'm missing in the corporate job is the creativity and the connecting with people because I'm remote most of the time. I go into the office like once or twice a week. And something that I struggled with is just that everyone's older than me and in a different stage of life. So having the art to fall back onto has been really good. Also, my apartment is like decorated floor to ceiling other than one wall that's white. And I don't know what to do with it.
No, it could be like you are when you have to interview.
that one wall. No, exactly. You're right. But it's been cool. It's been really cool.
How was the adjustments like after you came out of college and jumped right into? I mean, you jumped right into work.
Yeah.
So like, how was that? Was it just like busy? I'm working or?
Yeah, busy working. It's definitely an adjustment. The biggest adjustment is actually happening now because seeing people back at school on Instagram. Like over the summer,
man.
It was one thing where everybody was at different places and doing different things, and that was me last summer because I had an internship at the exact same company. So it kind of, when I went back to work, it was kind of like I'm back on my internship again, I'm back in person. But it's been really hard, especially right now, because I live in an isolated area and it's very lonely. Just not living around people, not working with people who are in the same like transition stage.
Yeah.
It's been pretty difficult. And I do have friends that live here in the city, and I see them once in a while, some family on Long Island, but like just being constantly,
it's different.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I just want to be surrounded. I don't have any roommates. Like, I just want to have people, and I miss learning about random things. Like, I had a class called Friendship. I had a class called Satire. Like,
just, at Emory?
Yeah. It was
I took a Harry Potter class.
Man,
and,
I gotta take this Friendship class.
It was so good. I just miss, like, the stupid things like that just, like, I don't know.
No, I get it. Yeah,
you just completely. So naturally could connect with people when you're sitting next to them every single day.
I took a stupid class at Emory. It was called Intro to Microeconomics.
Shout out economics. Reminding me of, I think, episode 1 when I did talk a little bit about feeling isolated and feeling, I think before I moved in with my roommates, I definitely felt I can resonate heavily with like what you just said.
Right. You said you sublet, you live by yourself.
Mm-hmm. I was subleasing for a bit and I was living by myself, and when I was working, I was also working with people from all stages of life, but there were a lot of more adults, like adults than I was expecting, so it's just like, oh, I'm really like adulting now. And yeah, I had friends too. Didn't see them as often as I wanted to, whereas like college, you're just bumping into them like nonstop.
All the time.
Right?
And you live with them.
And you live with them. And
yeah,
so.
Yeah, jealous of you because you live with your friends.
That's true.
Do you live with friends?
No, I live with my mom.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Yes. It's the same thing. I love my mom.
But I think that it just feels a little different when you're not. I don't know. It's like people. It's not just meeting people, but meeting people of your like same age, same kind of wavelength too. Sometimes you know you need to like.
Because it's just hard to connect sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like I don't know, like working in an office. No hate to them, because they're wonderful people. I love working with them. But sometimes this is for any corporate job. Like people don't try and get to know you. Like they ask how your weekend was, but like.
Not really. Like
it's
like.
It's just.
Mm-hmm.
It's obligatory.
Just,
it's a weekend. Okay, let's get back to work now.
Yeah.
It's like a thank you note you gotta send after.
Yeah.
Like.
Oh my gosh, yes.
You already said thank you.
Yeah.
Ideally.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, like, people generally cared. And they were with you during the weekend, too, so
mm-hmm.
they knew.
Yeah. And then you have your little inside jokes, and you have, like,
exactly.
your little stuff to do. Yeah.
Exactly. Now my only inside jokes are, like, the voices in my head listening to each other. Knock, knock.
That happens to you, too?
That's really funny. But I'm... It's so interesting to hear. Like, I mean, you like, I love this. This is why we do this show, because I think we'll start seeing like, not similar narratives in the form of like they're the same, but like, the how everybody has their own kind of path. Especially, like, I mean, artists, of course, we're talking about artists, but just how everyone has their own like separate, like, you know, little. Road that they're walking on, but there was a lot of parallels that can be drawn, like with all these stories, and I think it's just so cool to. This is really really like
yeah,
it's coming together, and it's like I'm just it's just so nice to hear like
yeah.
and
yeah.
I think I need to listen to your podcast because I think it would. I should have done my homework, but
no,
you're good. Yeah.
I think it would do me good to like see that there are other people that are kind of experiencing the same thing.
Look. This is why the platform exists, so that, you know, people can, you know, connect with each other. I mean, there's a lot of times when, after we're shooting, like, we talk to people, and they're like, yeah, here, let me put you in touch with this person, because
mm-hmm.
it just grows. Because, like, it's especially true with creatives, because, like, there is that feeling of connection, and I think you hit the nail right on the head.
Yeah.
I have a question for you, and this is something that we ask everybody who comes on the show. Where you are now, just, you know... What, like 5-6 months after graduating, compared to where you were then, what is a piece of advice that you would tell yourself 6 months ago, or, you know, students, you know, at Emory or whatever university they're at right now, that when you're on that other side of the plane?
I would definitely say to not take it for granted, because I always thought it was such a cliche when my parents said, these are the best years of your life, blah, blah, blah. But this transition has been really tough, and I thought it would be easier. So I would say, don't take it for granted, but also like, do your best to prepare, build your resilience, and build your network, because that's something that I think I really could have done a better job with, because I do have people here and there are people that I could be closer with, but I just didn't do my due diligence and make those connections and reach out, because I think that sometimes the hardest thing to do sometimes is to like in friendships to make the first move, because
right.
I think in this I don't know, world of technology, instant gratification on social mm-hmm. media, like mm-hmm. it's so much easier to have those superficial connections, but since connection was what I was missing when I got here, I just wish that I had built my relationships more, and I'm doing my best to reach out more, and I'm also going to every alumni event.
Hey!
Early in the summer, I went to a Liberty game at the Barclays Center with Emory. I got to shoot free throw. One free throw.
That's cool.
Wait, what?
I didn't make it. I made it. I'm so short. Like, people laughed at me. Like, that's how bad it was.
Did other people make it?
Well, no.
Okay.
But I think they laughed because...
Extra hard at you.
Yeah. I felt
that's
it.
Not...
I felt it. But
I'm sorry.
I don't
that's
know.
Not fair.
This is me.
I wish I was there.
You should have been. You should have been.
Back a lot.
You should have been. It was awesome.
I know.
It's an extra audience. You know, I was in the spokes, so the laughing, I'm used to it. I'm used to it. True. So many people laughed at my jokes.
Yeah,
so
didn't
many.
You do like stand-up comedy or something?
I did.
Yeah.
What the?
Yeah, you were.
Why did I talk about that?
You were being with Henry Spoke, yeah.
Okay. Wait, let me say art.
Yeah.
That's art too.
That is definitely
art.
Yeah.
That's an art.
Yeah.
I really want to hear about that. Actually, can you talk to us a little bit about
it? It was like the best group of people that I could have ever asked for. It was really profoundly shaped my college experience. Oh. Every Monday, just to be in a room with the funniest people on Emory's campus. You think your friends are funny until you've been in a spoke meeting.
Ooh.
Like,
wow.
They are so funny. Like, just the natural. The ooze that just comes out of people's mouths sometimes. It's just like, wow. How did you come up with that? I didn't mean to say ooze. It's the first word that came to my mind. But it's like, how did you come up with that? And I was not the funniest person there, at all.
Is that the first time, Maria? First time?
First time what?
Being not the funniest person.
No. It was just nice to be around like so many like-minded people who could just like literally say anything and it would be funny. Like, it was hilarious.
Awesome. That sounds so cool.
But it was like, brain rot garbage sometimes, but I ate it up. It was so good. I miss it. And I contemplated like going into the stand-up comedy scene in New York.
Really?
But after going to different shows in different locations,
I'm thinking about doing that.
Like, I'm just so scared of it. Because just like I said before, like the hardest thing to do is to make the first connection. Sometimes the hardest thing to do is to do something for the first time.
Yep.
Once you do it for the first time, you're golden. But it's getting there that's just like terrifying. And
also in a new area, right? Like
in a new area.
That's the thing.
Where everyone's just so good at everything and knows what they're doing in life, and they're also hot. What's up with that? Hot and funny.
Yeah, like actually like pick a non-straight.
That's not stand-up comedy. I don't know what you're talking about there. Yeah.
No, that's really okay. Wow, you have done a lot.
You're a jack of all trades.
Really?
Yeah.
Master of all. Yeah. Ari. Thank you so much for taking some time out of
your
Thank you.
Thank you so much for watching this. And we want to give a huge shout out to all our everyone who's listening in and who's tuning in from all those platforms.
In the universe.
Yeah. Thank you for our audience, the universe. And thank you once again, Ari, for your time.
Thank you, guys.
This is...
Yep. I'm Ben Sofer.
And I am Noah Liam. Thanks for watching.
Have a good week.